Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
My home is not on this earth, not in this world.
Amen. Right. I'm going to ask you a question to open up the sermon. I'm going to get this a bit more interactive than normal. I'm going to ask you to turn to someone next to you and tell them your answer to the question, just because let's mix it up a bit. Tell them what is the best movie that you've been to see in the last year. Okay, go. Did anybody say Avengers?
Yeah, no.
Oh, we do have hands for the Avengers. Okay, that is good. I was worried if we got no hands, this whole intro would fall completely flat. If you were to ask 1,000 people what's the best movie they've been to see recently, chances are Avengers would be the most popular answer. Why do I say that? Well, you just look at the statistics. It is the highest grossing movie of the year. That means like more people have paid to see it than any other film this year. In fact, it's the second highest grossing movie of all time. So in terms of people wanting to see it, this is high up there. And the ratings that people have given it. So people who've been to see the movie and then given their ratings, how good it was, it consistently scores high. And that makes me ask a question. It makes me ask, why? Why is a movie like that so popular? And you could give various answers. So obviously it's a well-made movie. It's got an all-star cast. It had a high budget and so on. But I think there's something more to it than that. I think it's more about the kind of story that it's telling. The Avengers movie is what you'd call an ensemble story, or you might put it as a team movie. Now, Marvel have made tons of movies. They've made way too many movies to the point of saturation where I'm just bored of them. However, not everyone agrees with that. Most of their films, though, will have one main protagonist. So there'll be some superhero who's got some problem, and the superhero deals with whatever the problem is and saves the day. But every once in a while, they'll have a movie where they bring loads of these superheroes together. So you'll have the brains of Iron Man, you'll have the brute force of Hulk, you'll have the inspirational leadership of Captain America. And so you'll have a team formed of all these different superheroes. And together, they can deal with things that none of them on their own could deal with. They're greater than the sum of their parts. Did you know there have been four movies like this, Avengers movies, where they've all been brought together? The top five grossing Marvel movies of all time include all four of the Avengers together movies. Black Panther's the only other one that breaks into that top five list. There's something about the team movie, the superheroes all together, all doing different things to accomplish a goal that seems to inspire moviegoers at the moment. It's not just the Avengers movies. Think Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, and the team coming together, all different, and yet what they each bring to the table, so important to the story. Think about the Oceans movies, okay? Oceans 11, Oceans 12, Oceans 13, Oceans 8, however many others they're going to make. It's the same thing, isn't it? They want to rob a bank, and so they get different people with different skills to accomplish their objective. My favourite series of books is the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson. And he's got this kind of cast of characters who can all access different powers from metal that they ingest. Okay, so it's kind of like a fantasy series, but one of them can like ingest pewter and become super strong. And one can ingest tin and have like heightened senses, but different ones have different abilities. It's another version of the team story. Why does that draw us in so much? Why do we like to go to movies like that and read books like that? Well, I think it's hardwired into us, maybe, that this is how it should be. That it should be about different people coming together with different abilities that bring different things to the table. We see this appeal in many spheres of life. Okay, think of an orchestra. Okay, think of the best orchestra you've ever seen. Wouldn't that orchestra be a lot worse if everybody could all play the same instrument instead of different instruments? The sound quality that you get, it would just become monotonous. They're all doing the same thing instead of bringing different things. I mean, think of a rugby team. Okay, now a rugby team has lots of different body types in a good rugby team. So if everybody was built like a prop forward, okay, they might be quite good on the scrums, but then get the ball to the winger and he'll barely be able to run. If everyone was like a little winger, nippy, they might be able to kind of dive past the opponent's tackle, but then which of them's going to be able to take down their opponent? They're not. It's different people with different skills coming together to make a team. Think of a business, okay? If you're starting a business, it's not a good idea to only hire people who are good at the things that you're good at. Okay, you need to hire people who are good at different things. Then together, you can do something better than the sum of your parts. And what we're going to see in the Bible tonight is that God is telling a team story. Okay? God hasn't designed his church to have one or two superheroes who do it all by themselves. It's a whole team of superheroes that you have a part to play in, that I have a part to play in, that we all do. Look around and you'll see the cast of God's team movie. Okay? We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now, and we're going to look at this idea of spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacks it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. Okay, we're talking spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts, firstly? You can think of it this way. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability distributed to individual Christians by the Holy Spirit to allow him or her to work through their lives to help the church execute its mission on earth. So it's gifts, things, abilities that God gives you to help the church do its mission. I'm going to share four things with you about spiritual gifts this evening. Firstly, the bullseye is Jesus. Okay, this is really important. Before we start talking about what the gifts are and how we get them, let's just understand why we're given them. The gifts, if we call them spiritual gifts, there's a clue in the name. They're from the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives them. And what is it that the Holy Spirit wants to do? Well, we're told in John's Gospel, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will glorify me and will take what is mine and declare it to you. So whatever's going on with spiritual gifts, this is the purpose of them. The Holy Spirit is helping you to proclaim the Lordship of Jesus, either through the words or through the actions. It's helping people see Jesus is incredible. So let me give you an example. This was a story from about 7 years ago. I was at a conference. There was a preacher who shared a story about how when he was younger, he'd had back pains and God had healed him from those back pains. And then he said, look, I've got faith to pray for anyone who has similar back pains. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you and see if the same thing happens. So I'd been having back pains for many years in my lower back. So I went forward after the talk. I said, okay, I'd like you to pray for me. I fit the category there. He said, right, probably what your problem is that your legs aren't the same length as each other. That's a common cause of back pain. Sit on a chair and just kind of hold your legs out. Let's see if they're the same length. And he was right. There was a small amount of distance between the lengths of my legs. So he said, right, I'm going to pray for you now that one of your legs will grow. So he held my foot and loads of people around just saw it kind of pop forward like that. Now, I kind of felt a slightly weird sensation, but he said, look, you've been healed. Now, that was 7 years ago. And since that day, I haven't experienced back pain once. Okay, so I can tell you that story. And with a healing story, I'm sometimes a bit reluctant to tell the story straight away. So I'm like, well, I think I might have been healed, but let's see. 7 years on, I can tell you that story and I can say God healed me because I used to have back pain and now I don't. Now that guy, when he did that, he healed me, but he's also given me a story to tell about Jesus. So when I tell you, when I tell other people that I meet, look, one of the ways, now there are many ways that I've seen Jesus at work in my life. One of the ways is that he's healed me. And that means that I can point to him in my words. I can give him glory. I can commend him to you for having seen a work in my life. That's a spiritual gift used well from this guy who prayed for me. He used the gift of healing, but I haven't even told you his name because he didn't heal me. I'm telling you Jesus' name because he did heal me, okay? So the gift was used well because it's given a testimony to Jesus. Now, a few years ago, I told this story to a family member who is not a Christian, who lives in a kind of spiritual community in a different part of the world. And I said, hey, one of the things that makes me so confident in my faith is that Jesus healed me. And they said, oh yeah, yeah, I've known lots of people be healed in similar ways. And that slightly took me aback. So I was like, oh, right. I don't know what to make of the fact that in your community, you've got things that would kind of correlate to this. However, whatever I make of it, what I can't say is that they're a spiritual gift in the same way what happened in the conference I was in is a spiritual gift. Why not? Because this one pointed to Jesus getting the glory, and in this other context, it's not being used for the glory of Jesus. I'll give you another example. Imagine someone who has great oratorical skill. They're persuasive. They can make fantastic arguments, and they use their skill to tear down the gospel and try to attack biblical truth. That's not a spiritual gift. Okay? You can say they're very talented, that they are able. You can't call it a spiritual gift if it's not being used to proclaim the Lordship of Jesus. This is what verse 3 is telling us. No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. What this means is when we have gifts, we need to be pointing to Jesus with them all the time. Think back to the team movie. Okay? If we're the team that God has assembled, the purpose of the movie, the mission is the glory of Christ by building his church and by spreading his kingdom in the world. Let's move on then. Verses 4 to 6. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Another way of saying this is that we're not all good at the same thing. Okay, we are all different. We're not all supposed to be doing the same thing. So imagine if, like in the Avengers, you basically had like 12 Hulks and that was it. Do you think they'd get the mission done? No, they might smash a lot of buildings up, but they wouldn't get the mission done. It's in the difference, it's the variety of gifts coming together that the power is. So what are some of these gifts? Let me just share a few of them. In this chapter, it lists words of wisdom. So that's kind of when somebody has a situation and you just have kind of an insightful word. Yeah, I know what to say that could unlock this. Words of knowledge, that's like you've got a supernatural knowledge of it. Hey, I know this detail about a situation in your life. Revealed to you, you couldn't possibly know it on your own, but it's like a God-given piece of knowledge. Faith, believing God for big things. Gifts of healings, given an example of that already. Working of miracles, there are various forms that can take. Prophecies, like when you get a word or a picture from God for somebody else. Distinguishing between spirits, you know. Have you ever met someone who they just can tell you, hey, this situation, somehow there's something dark about this. There's something spiritually wrong here. Or there's something good in this. There's something spiritually right going on here. Languages or tongues, so this is the ability to pray in a language that you haven't learned yourself. It could be a human language or a heavenly language, an interpretation of languages, so understanding what someone else prays when they do that. Also in the chapter is mentioned apostleship, so this is like breaking new ground for the gospel of God, getting churches started in places where there are no churches. Teaching, being able to explain truth to somebody else. Helps, coming alongside someone and making a vision happen, doing the behind-the-scenes stuff that builds. Administration, so being able to organise to God's glory. There are other lists of gifts in the New Testament as well. So you'd add from other places like Romans, Ephesians, 1 Peter. Exhortation, that means preaching. That's what I'm doing now. Generosity, so some people, well, of course we all give, but some people give above and beyond. They've got an ability to generate and then give away vast amounts of money. Leadership, mercy, evangelism, pastoring, hospitality. The Bible lists all of these as spiritual gifts. But these different lists that we get, they're all kind of, there's overlap, but they're all different to each other. Okay, they're not just one list cloned. And the fact that each list is different makes you think, maybe these lists aren't meant to be comprehensive. Maybe it's not meant to be saying, here are all of them. Maybe it's saying, here's some examples. Let me share some of the gifts with you. And I think even if you mash up all of these lists that you get in the New Testament, you wouldn't get a comprehensive list of every spiritual gift. Actually, anything that God gives you to do that helps build his kingdom, that you use for his glory, is a spiritual gift. I genuinely, with all my heart, believe there is a spiritual gift of web development. There's a spiritual gift of graphic design. There's a spiritual gift of music. Anything that you can do, that you do for his glory, is a spiritual gift. So, third thing to take from this chapter then, verse 7 is the key one here. The gifts are given to each of us and to all of us, okay? The gifts are given to each of us and to all of us. So firstly, the gifts are given to each of us. Every single Christian has spiritual gifts. I remember one time I was in a meeting with some people. It was kind of like a community group almost. And we were sitting around talking about what we thought our spiritual gifts were. And there was one person in the room and she said, "I don't think I have any spiritual gifts." Now, that's not what it says in this chapter. It says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So I would want to say to you, you have spiritual gifts. You have a part to play. You have a contribution to bring. So the gifts are given to each of us. They're also given to all of us. So whilst the gifts are given to you, they're not given for you. Now, sometimes, depends like who I'm talking to and how cheeky I want to be. But sometimes when people say to me, "Tom, what spiritual gifts do you have?" I like to tell them that I have all of the spiritual gifts. And I genuinely think I do. Okay, I have all of the spiritual gifts. But by saying I have all of the spiritual gifts, what I'm not saying is I'm able to do all of these things. I'm saying I'm part of a community that God has gifted with these things, so I benefit from them. So when God gives Liam the gift of worship leading, well, is it only Liam who benefits from that, or do we all benefit from it? We all do. So God's gifted us all by gifting Liam. So the gifts are for each of us, but they're also for all of us. And then he takes this image of a body, and he said, look, imagine all the different bits of the body. So imagine if, like, your chin wasn't happy being a chin, and it wanted to be like a foot. So you're walking around with a foot on your face instead of a chin. It wouldn't help you. Or the other way around, imagine if your feet weren't happy being feet and wanted to be chins, so you were walking around on chins. It wouldn't work, okay? You need each bit to be what it is. If your eyes just subbed out for ears, you wouldn't be able to see. If your hands just disappeared and instead you've got like extra eyes on the end of your wrists, it wouldn't work. You wouldn't be able to grip things. Every piece is designed for where it is in a body. And he said it's the same in the church. You, with the gifts that you have, are perfectly equipped by God for the role that he's calling you to play. So what that means, we need to be able to do two things. Firstly, we all need to be able to identify what our spiritual gifts are. If God's given each of us gifts, we need to know, well, what gifts has God given to me? And secondly, once we know what they are, we need to develop them and use them. So how do you figure out what your gifts are? I'll give you some thoughts, okay? Let's have the Venn diagram, okay? So I think there are kind of three factors that if you're just wanting to start off asking the question, what might my gifts be, I would look at these three things. So the first one I'd look at is natural abilities. Are there things you've just always been really, really good at? Okay? So I can imagine somebody who, before they became a Christian, was a really, really good teacher. They could always, whatever the content matter, they were always very good at explaining things in simple ways that people understood. And then there's a reasonably good chance that that person, after becoming a Christian, would probably have the spiritual gift of teaching. That natural ability, God would do something with it and turn it into a spiritual gift, redirect it. So look at the things, what have I always been good at? Second thing is God-given passions. Are there things that God's really put on your heart to step into, to do, to have a go at? It's possible, I suppose, that God has gifted you in something that you hate doing, but I've never really met anybody who's in that situation. Okay, most people, their gifts correlate with things that God makes them excited about and wants them to have a go at. And then third one, I'm calling it Holy Spirit superpowers. I don't really have a better phrase for it. So if you object to it, so be it. Maybe your gift is thinking of a better term for Holy Spirit superpowers. But sometimes there are things that when you do them, you can't explain why. It just seems like God takes it and does something. So some people, whenever they open their mouth to share the gospel, just seems like God takes that into a really fruitful conversation and they see people led to Christ. Well, that person is probably an evangelist as a gift. So what is it that you see God working through over and over again? I'm just going to pause the sermon now for like 30 seconds. I'm going to invite you just to bring to mind, I'm not going to make you say it to anyone, just bring to mind, looking at that, what do you think your spiritual gifts might be? You might not know straight away, but I would imagine there's probably one or two things that come to mind. And maybe you're already doing those things, If you're not and you'd like to, we would love to help you find a way to use the gifts that you have. Maybe talk to me or talk to your community group leaders or whoever it might be. We'd love to help you use your gift. Another way of trying to work out what your gifts are that can be helpful if nothing comes to mind is see what other people think. Ask some of your friends. In fact, this would be a good exercise to do in your community group. Talk to each other about what your spiritual gifts would be. So we need to know what our gifts are. We also need to develop our gifts. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So he said, Timothy, you've got a gift. Now fan it into flame. Develop it. Turn it into something more honed, more sharp, more able to be used. So how do we do that? How do we develop our gifts? Well, one way is practice. Okay, the more we do it, the better we'll get at it. Find a safe place where you can do it, where there are people with honest and kind voices who can guide you. Also, take advantage of the training opportunities. We've been, over the last few years, trying to develop more and more opportunities for training here at CCM. So we've talked about the School of Theology. We've got a School of Ministry starting up soon where we'll be learning about things like prophecy and healing and gifts like that. Whatever you think the gifts are, see where the right places to pick up training are and take advantage of those opportunities. Here's the last thing then, the fourth thing to share about spiritual gifts. Everybody's gifts matter. So this comes back to the idea of the body. So yes, your gifts matter. Everybody's gifts matter. You can't sit there thinking, oh yeah, I have the best gift. I have the most important gift. No, I mean, if you were thinking like, hey, I'm super important. I'm not like a little toe. Well, the little toe is so crucial for balance. You'd kind of wobble over without the little toe. I mentioned at the start of the sermon my favourite series of books, the Mistborn books. There's one character in one of the books called Marisie, who she has the ability to slow down time around her. And she has this sense, and her dad's reinforced it as well, that this is the most useless ability. Okay? So some people would have the ability to speed up time, and that's super helpful, because if you speed up time, you can do stuff, and like a bullet's coming at you, you speed up time, and you can move to where the bullet isn't coming, and dodge it, and things like that. But if you slow down time, you're just like a kind of a statue while everything's going on around you. It makes you vulnerable. So she is convinced that her gift is useless. Guess how the story ends? Guess whose skill it is that saves the day? It's Marisie, isn't it? She uses, and you can read the books if you want to know how it's useful. But sometimes we can think like she thought, like her dad thought as well, that certain gifts aren't important. And we can start to get what I call gift envy of other people. Do you ever have this? You look at like the gifts that God's given someone else and you think, if only I had those gifts. We were joking around in the pub after church last week about if only there was the spiritual gift of flying. Okay, that sounds cool, doesn't it? But sometimes we think the same way about like the gift of healing. Oh, wouldn't it be great to be able to have that gift? Or wouldn't it be great to be a super gifted worship leader who stands at the front of a festival and leads thousands of people? We sometimes think about that. We sometimes think, oh, wow, that person, they're such a great evangelist. And look at me, I only have the gift of admin. Well, the gift of admin is crucial, okay? If it wasn't for people with the gift of admin, none of those evangelists would be in the right place at the right time. And everything would fall to pieces. We need everybody's gifts to come together. I'm going to tell you a story. This was years ago in my university days. There was a group of us who were friends around the Christian Union at the university. I was a new gospel minister had arrived in town with a big vision for something that he wanted to do. And he was pitching to a group of us, there were four of us, that he wanted to basically be his team to start this thing. And he turned to the first guy and he said, like, you are an incredible communicator. I want you to be our frontline preacher. I want you to kind of speak truth every week. And then he turned to the next guy and said, you're so good at musician. So good at musician. I want all the worship to be headed up by you. And to the next guy, it's like, you're so good at community. Like, you can be our groups guy. You can build small groups for us. And I said, well, what about me? What role can I play? He says, yeah, you can be around too. I was like, wow. Can you imagine how that made me feel? Because here's a guy saying to everyone else, you've got a gift, and you've got a gift, and you've got a gift. But I'm not sure I see anything. You know, I didn't join. I wasn't part of the team. And I'm sure you don't blame me for that. I wonder if we ever make other people feel like that. Now, we probably don't say it as bluntly as he said it to me. But I wonder if we ever treat people as though they're not important, or even do so kind of by emphasising certain things, by saying this person with this gift, I'm going to give them special attention, but by neglect, leaving other people out as though they're not important. But God has built his body. Every part is crucial. You have a role to play. You are so, so valued here. As a church, I mean, we're still a new plant. We need your gifts to be deployed. One of the most exciting parts of my job is seeing people raised up and having a go at things that they have never done before. And stepping out and growing and using those things and becoming really skilled. And then for them to be bringing through more people is so exciting. At church, we talk about the have-a-go culture. This is more than just a nice idea. This is a theological thing. God has gifted you. So the body needs you to be deployed, doing the thing that God has shaped you to do. So we're going to take another pause now. And what I'm just going to ask you to do, either maybe like on your Find Me card or on your phone, or just in your mind if you've got a good memory. But I asked you before to think about what your spiritual gifts were. Maybe just think about two or three other people. They could be people in this room, or they could be people you know in other settings. But just jot down two or three people who you say, I know that this person definitely has a spiritual gift in such and such a thing. Okay, and here's what I want you to do then. You might have got your two or three. You might have just had time to do one there. Whoever you've written down or whoever you've put in your mind with their gift, make a point this week of telling them what gift you see in them. Trust me, they will be encouraged by it. They'll be really encouraged by you seeing the part that they have to play. I started this sermon by comparing the body of Christ to the Avengers. Yeah, really, that's a poor comparison. What is going on here in the Bible is so much more than what happened in the Avengers. Because the Avengers is like, hey, let's find all the best. Let's get the all-star team together. And yet, look at who the Corinthians were when God started working with them. It says earlier in the letter, not many of you were wise. Not many of you were of noble birth. Not many of you had anything to commend yourself at all. You weren't the obvious people for the all-star team. That was true of the Corinthians. I suspect that's true of many of us as well. If we look at our testimonies, our life stories, if we see where we were once and what God's done, we weren't the obvious candidates for a superhero movie. And yet look at the gifts that God has given to us, starting with the gift of his son, the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ, who came for us and took our sin and died in our place and gave us his perfect righteousness as a gift. And then, more than that, he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, he poured out his Holy Spirit as a gift. God with us, present with us all the time as a gift, encouraging us. Every step we take, he's there with us, spurring us on and changing us from the inside out, remaking us, remolding us into his image and bringing us into a people as a gift. The church is a gift of God. We don't have to walk this life on our own. We have each other as a gift. And then the gifts we've been talking about, the abilities, the parts that we have to play as a gift from God. He's constantly giving to us. That's way more than just, hey, there's this strong guy called the Hulk, let's get him in the team. God has taken us and given and given and given and given us a role to play in his church. It was recently my daughter's birthday. We gave her a bunch of gifts. And you know, there was a joy. There was a joy in her as she was opening and getting to experience them. But I think there was a greater joy in Emma and I as we saw these gifts that we'd been given and seeing them and delighted in and seeing them used. There's something beautiful about that. And our Heavenly Father is like that with us. He's given us good gifts and he longs to see those gifts being used. And he longs to see us delighted in our own gifts and in each other's as the body. Now, sometimes when people talk about spiritual gifts, the emphasis is on, hey, wouldn't it be great if you had more gifts? Wouldn't it be great if you could do this? And wouldn't it be great if you could do that? I don't want to diminish that at all. At the end of the chapter, it says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. So we should be longing for these things. But the main emphasis here is what you've already been given. The part that you have to play is so vital. And the part that everybody else has to play is so vital too. So I would encourage you, dwell more on what gifts you have. Encourage each other more with what gifts they have. But when you see, hey, I have a gift here, I have a part to play, find a way to use it and see God's church be built.